You're listening to American Girl Women with Laura Treader and Lindsay Adams-Franca. This is a podcast where two millennial gals gather around the microphone and reminisce on the cultural phenomenon that took our childhood by storm, American Girl dolls. Contrary to what you might think, we aren't just talking about dolls here. We're diving into the high highs and the low lows of getting hooked on American Girl and all the childhood memories that come flooding back. So join us and a few special guests each week as we become American Girl women.
Ruby June is a photographer, designer, director, artist, and overall creative force based in Los Angeles. Ruby grew up in Michigan with an active imagination that led into her bold personality and strong sense of self. Ruby has a unique AG story to tell, and we are so excited to chat with her on today's episode. Ruby, welcome to AGW.
Oh my God. Thank you. This is the most exciting moment of my life. I never thought I'd get to talk about American Girl dolls with other people ever again. So thank you.
Oh my gosh. Well, we're so excited to have you, Ruby. And to be honest, neither did we think that we would get to talk about American Girl dolls with other people until starting this podcast. So thank you for helping us carry out our dreams as well.
That is so true. But Ruby, before we get into all things American Girl, what were you like growing up?
I was pretty much exactly the same as I am now, but a smaller version. And all I wanted was to wear belly shirts and have belly ring. I really was obsessed with that. And I really wanted acrylic nails. I wanted to dye my hair, all things that I was not allowed to do, some of which I'm happy about. I'm glad I didn't get the belly ring, but other things, you know, might have been fun. I loved American Girl dolls, and it was a very special time in my life. I was an interesting child.
I love when people say that they are pretty much the same as how they were when they were a kid, because I feel like it just means that, you know, I feel like as we're kids getting older, we learn to like filter ourselves more and more. And so right. When people are like, oh, as a kid, I was basically like exactly who I am today, but just like littler. It's like, that's amazing, because that means that like you didn't let like parents or like society like change like your personality or anything as you got older. That like feeling that we have to like tone ourselves down as we grow up, that's just something I've sort of felt like. And when people say like, yeah, I'm exactly the same as I was then, I'm like, good for you.
If only I was like how I was when I was a child.
Not too right. late, guys.
You know,
I know.
Get me back to my former self.
Like, get me back to performing the entire Britney Spears Oops, I Did It Again album for my family, including the songs that were just like filler songs, and making them sit through that.
Except for your dog today after this podcast.
Literally. I need to do that. But yeah, I just think it's great when people are like, yeah, I'm the same person. We shouldn't be filtering ourselves just because we get older. Adulthood is a construct. Anyway, starting the podcast off on like a very therapy note, but there it is.
Right. Well, I'm really happy to hear that, Ruby, because you are one of the most creative, free-spirited people that I know. And I'm happy that has been with you throughout your entire life.
Thank you.
What were some of your hobbies growing up?
I had these little rubber band things that I would like intertwine with my fingers to make a giant rope. That I would stretch all the way around my house multiple times to see how long I could get. I don't know if that's really a hobby.
Those called loon loopers?
I feel like they might have been. Yeah, they came in like a giant clear bag with like neon colors.
Yes, yes. I had those too. Loved them.
Okay, yeah, that was pretty exciting. I love just like listening to Outkast Hey Ya, like from the CD I got from my Happy Meal.
Oh my God. I still love that song.
Yeah. So that was pretty good. Other hobbies included maybe like putting soap on the slide in the backyard and like sliding down it on a skateboard. setting up a hair salon in my treehouse where I would, you know, do all of my doll's hair for hours. That actually went on in through high school. So I don't know if that would count as exclusively a child. things like that, you know, forcing my siblings and friends to dress up as different characters, making my brother marry me on a daily basis, dressed as a knight. Yeah, things like that, you know, the usual things.
You have two siblings, right? You have a twin brother and then a younger sister.
Yep.
What was like the family dynamic like? What are their personalities like in comparison to yours?
Well, Leo is just amazing. He looks kind of like me, but like with like bigger fish lips, and he just would go along. Like my siblings were just, they would go along with whatever I needed them to be in the moment. Like they would go on adventures with me and explore abandoned buildings and like take pictures. And we were limited to our computer time. So we really had to like get creative, because the most we could earn was 30 minutes of computer time a day, even into like high school. And I was like trying to run a business in high school on the computer. And I was like, I've got 30 minutes a day. Like,
oh my God, wait, what kind of business?
I mean, I was doing, I was like working with like brands like Victoria's Secret Pink and Gap and stuff, like for my blogging stuff.
Oh, wow.
Like taking pictures. I was like taking people's senior pictures when I was a freshman, and just like, I had a lot of business that had to be done on the computer, and I had to like clean my room and do all these chores before I could even earn my 30 minutes a day. And that like was like very disturbing at the time, but in hindsight, I'm kind of glad that it happened, because it did get me outside and like doing other bizarre creative things.
Right. Totally. And what about your younger sister?
Iris, she is amazing. She is like super generous. I remember on her third birthday, she got a Barbie bike, and I was so upset that I didn't get her Barbie bike that I hid under my grandparents' bed, and she wouldn't ride the bike until I had ridden it first. Like, she literally was like, I don't want to ride the bike until Ruby gets a chance to ride it.
What? What an angel.
Says like what a horrible person I was, but also like what an amazing person she was and is.
Oh my goodness. And how much older are you than Iris?
I'm 3 years older than Iris.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's such a sweet story.
Yeah, I love that story.
I know. So I like, sweet. It really shows what a great character she has, and isn't the best for me, but I still had to share it because that's who she is.
I would do the same, Ruby.
I mean, my grandma had already gotten me like a crochet Barbie themed thing, because she was like, she knew I was going to be jealous.
So, yeah.
Like, I had gotten like a present on my sister's birthday to try to like not have that situation happen, and it still happened.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I mean, I can relate. My brother got Heelys for like his 9th birthday, and I was like, no, he must have been younger than that, maybe like 7th birthday, and I was like 12, and I like forced my 12-year-old feet into his 7-year-old feet Heelys so that I could try them on. And you know, sometimes your sibling just gets a gift that you have to get your hands on.
Yeah, my brother had Heelys too, and I remember him cheating on the pacer test. Like when the teacher wasn't looking, he would like Heely across instead of running.
Oh my God.
It was kind of genius.
Oh my God. Seriously. That's a amazing. Really good idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
Heelys were such a moment in time.
They really were.
I still want a pair. I've never had them. I've never tried them, but like every once in a while I'll like look to see like if they're on Amazon, and like I'm very tempted to purchase.
Are they?
Yeah, you could get them.
Okay, I know what I'm doing after this.
Yeah, honestly. We did this like roller skating event at House of Yes for work a couple years ago, and I realized then that like as much as I loved like rollerblading and roller skating growing up, it is really difficult. Like, yeah, that was hard, Laura.
It's scary. It's scary to do. And I was the one that put together the event. So obviously, like, I thought it was going to be such a fun vibe to roller skate. And then we got there and I was like, I can't be doing this. Like, there's way too many people. The space is too small. The floor is uneven. Like, I'm not going to roller skate. It's much harder than I remember as a kid.
Right?
You're higher from the ground now, so the consequences are greater.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. That's how I felt taking figure skating in college as my gym credit, where I was just like, I'm too high off the ground. Like, My eyes are probably, I don't know, I'm 5'9", so my eyes are probably 5'7", and that's a long distance from the ground.
Oh my God. And like figure skating has the like whole other variable of a sharp blade that
right.
I'm constantly thinking about how people could just cut themselves on figure skating blades, especially if you were like in a couple figure skating or something like that.
I have to say a figure skating outfit was my worst Halloween costume that I ever had. When I was around American Girl age, I like was carrying the figure skates, trying to wear the figure skates. There's like no good option for being on the streets with figure skates. Like,
no.
You're wearing them. It's like immediately you realize you made a really bad decision.
Oh my God. Right. True. They're heavy. They're bulky.
Yeah. They're dangerous.
Dangerous.
Oh my goodness. So let's get into the American Girl talk of it all. Ruby, what was your earliest memory of American Girl and how were you first introduced?
I'm pretty sure I met my first American Girl doll at a friend's house and was obsessed and desperate beyond anything to get my hands on one, and was just like, probably from that moment on, scheming a way to get an American Girl doll, like writing essays, probably, you know, pulling all the stops and being like, I need this. I need this.
Do you remember if she had a historic doll or was it one of the Create Your Owns?
No, I actually remember very vividly what doll she had, because she got a Look Like Me doll to look like her. And it was a brunette doll, like she was. Her name was Brittany, and she had blue eyes. And for some reason, when my time finally came to get an American Girl doll, it was my once in a lifetime truly moment. And I chose to get a Look Like Me doll to look like her.
So you got the same doll as Brittany.
I got the same exact doll that looked exactly like Brittany in first grade. And she was my best friend that got to wear bras and fulfill all of the things that I didn't get to fulfill in first grade. And my American Girl doll just happened to look exactly like her, which was great until she became my frenemy. And then it was not a great situation to have my doll look like her.
Just painful reminder.
Every day, a painful reminder.
Wait, going back a step, did she know that you got a doll to look like her?
It's unclear whether she knew. I mean, the fact that I was blonde and looked nothing like her may have been clear to her that my doll just looked like her doll. And it had like the bangs and everything. And I don't know how she couldn't have known.
Oh my God. Do you remember what Brittany did to make you frenemies?
Honestly, I'm really good at forgetting the bad things that people have done to me. I'm sure it was really, really bad, because I ended up starting the Kill Brittany Club at school, which I'm not proud of. And I did get sent to the principal's office because someone found one of my followers' papers in the sandbox that said "Kill Brittany."
Oh my God!
I was the leader of the Kill Brittany Club, which I am not proud of the person I was, but I've come a long way. And I'm sorry, Brittany. And yeah, I mean, maybe if I hadn't gotten the American Girl doll to look like her, then the feelings wouldn't have been so like emotionally charged, you know?
Right. Because you committed.
Yeah, exactly. That's an investment and a commitment. But how old were you when this was going down?
Well, let's think. This would have been 2001. First grade was our high times. Me and Brittany were like really close in first grade.
He came to
the party at full blast. Like everything was great. And then second grade is when I remember getting in trouble for the Kill Brittany Club. So something happened between those years.
I see. I feel like, and Lindsay, I don't know if this is a phenomenon for you, but like, I feel like I had like best friends throughout like my early years, like kindergarten through like fifth grade that I was just like obsessed with, like, or we were just like obsessed with each other. Like we just like had like little rituals and routines and like things that we did, like that were, I don't know, like unique to like our best friendship. And then like, if the friendship ever broke down, it would be like the worst thing to ever happen. Like I had a friend in the third and fourth grade, I think, who like people always told us we looked like twins. Aww. And it was to the point where like we would even like buy matching outfits together. So it's like on top of like having this really close friendship where we were like obsessed with each other, we also like looked exactly the same.
I had a really close friend growing up, and my mom, who's probably listening, hi mom, talking about Becky, her mom and my mom were super close, and they would buy us matching outfits. Like we had probably everything in like the Hannah Anderson catalog, and we always matched, and we hated it. Absolutely.
You hated it? Oh my God.
Even though we were so close, we were just like, we don't want to be wearing the same thing. But that's really cute. I'm glad that you both had those kinds of friendships.
Well, they can backfire.
They can backfire. I feel like you never had like
matching outfits to your dolls.
No, I wanted that so badly. I don't think I had one outfit that was like for girls that was Bitty Baby related. It was like a cream colored velour dress with like a little white beret hat. I need to find a picture of this.
Please find this.
And I had that, and my mom loved it. I remember her seeing it in the catalog, and like it was love at first sight for her in this outfit, which is the only reason why I got it, because otherwise I don't think she was like into splurging. But I don't think my Bitty Baby had the same one. I think it was just me, which kind of like defeats the entire purpose of the American Girl matching outfits. Like spring for the Bitty Baby one if you're gonna get it.
Right. That's so cute. I had a matching pajama set with my American Girl, Felicity, and her. I had like the matching set too for the Miss AG, the Miss American Girl bear. Wow. And then there was also like a tiny bear version for your doll. So the four of us had the matching pajama. But Ruby, did you ever have any matching clothes with your American Girl?
Oh my God. I had the one outfit of like that year. Like the year that I got it was like the American Girl dolls all were coming in like this, like almost like a long jean skirt. Mm. And then they had like a gray long sleeved hoodie shirt that was striped with a red vest over it.
And oh so, my like, God. Yes.
That was my era.
Yeah. She had it too. And so I remember like we had a traveling class monkey that like once a year, everyone gets to take Milo the monkey home and take it on adventures and then like bring it back like and write in a journal about it. And I like put Milo the monkey in the American Girl outfit and like took Milo the monkey to the zoo and like on all these adventures in the American Girl matching outfit with me. And then
oh my God,
I remember like I got to wear the outfit to school, which was a big deal because we had a dress code. So it was like once a month there was like a dress down day. And so I wore my American Girl outfit on that day. And I was like so excited, but I remember having to go to the bathroom and like getting there and not being able to figure out how to get the skirt off, like being like, oh my God, what's happening? And I just remember like sitting down and peeing through the skirt, like peeing straight through the skirt and being like, this is the worst thing that could have ever happened to me. Like sitting in the bathroom being like, what do I do now? Like I just, it was my one day to shine in my American Girl outfit with Milo the monkey and matching outfits. And I just peed straight through the skirt in a very major way. Like, not like, oh, I figured it out halfway. No, it was like,
horrible.
And then I remember like having to like go out and like talk to the parapro, like who was like hanging stuff up on a board in the hallway and being like, this is an emergency situation. I need you to call 911. And then my mom had to like come and bring me like an outfit change while I was like in the hallway, like hanging out with the parapro. It was just horrible.
Oh my goodness. That honestly like feels like such a relatable story. There's just nothing like being caught in one of those like moments of terror as a kid. And, like, the fact that it was all centered around like this outfit that you loved too, on right. top of everything. That outfit was pretty iconic. My Girl of Today doll came in that outfit as well. And I remember thinking like, this is the peak of like early 2000s fashion right here.
It was amazing. I remember I also got, I think for my birthday, a bedroom set. And it was just like the most incredible thing that's ever happened. And I remember very vividly, because what ended up happening, I'm still very ashamed of, but I had a cat that peed on the daisy rug that came from America. And it was like, and it was just like the worst thing ever, because if a cat pees on something, there's no coming back. I remember we like returned it.
Oh,
to girl. Like, and it worked.
Oh,
just, like, that's the kind of thing now I look back on and I'm like, that's probably the worst thing you've ever done in your life. It's like, like you returned the rug, but I was in first or second grade. So I try not to hold it against myself.
No, oh, you definitely shouldn't hold it against yourself. Honestly, they were getting so much money that they could stand to replace a daisy rug.
Okay, that makes me feel better.
Was the bedroom set from American Girl? What did it look like?
Okay, well, really the only thing burned into my brain is that daisy rug, which was like, it was like a beautiful, beautiful like pink daisy shape with like a yellow circle in the center. And I think that like the whole thing, everything matched, but really it's like, in my brain, I just see that daisy rug like spinning like 100 times and just like closing in on me. It's like, that's like all I remember.
Oh no. You know, this isn't the first podcast guest that we've had on that has mentioned an incident with cat pee ruining their AG furniture.
Oh God.
So you're in good company.
Okay, I got that off my chest.
I'm pulling out the catalog right now because I feel like there's a picture of this in one of the catalogs that Lindsay got me for my birthday. And I would love to find it, because it was, the whole bedroom set was like burned into my brain. Okay, well, first of all, we have the outfit.
That's, oh my God.
Look!
Iconic.
That was me with the little chopsticks in the hair and everything.
That is incredible. The wow. Yeah, the hair chopsticks were really a vibe.
Yes.
Okay. There's not a rug in this picture, but there is a bedroom set.
Okay, so the bedroom set I'm thinking of was for me as a human, not...
Oh, I thought you meant for your doll. No, oh my God.
I'm actually thinking...
Ruby!
This was a life-sized human rug that a cat peed on. It was not a single 6-inch square of yarn. No, this was a human set.
Okay, got it. Yeah. Noted. Well, I was gonna say, because that bedroom set in the American Girl catalog,
that's a cute one, but no, I think mine is like 400 times cuter.
Well, that one like lived rent free in my brain like for years after I laid eyes on it in the catalog. So I was like, oh my God, if she had that one, then we need to discuss.
So mine was like pink, yellow, and white floral prints. Very iconic.
Love
yeah.
it.
Oh, cute. You know, we've tried to look up the bedroom set with a previous guest. Actually, our very first guest, Becca, had the bedroom set as well. And we couldn't find like any photographic evidence of it.
Yeah, we couldn't find like anything tying it back to existence. It felt like a fever dream.
Right. Yes. We'll just have to purchase more catalogs is what we need to do.
Absolutely.
It's in there somewhere. We actually had someone DM us too about an item from AG that they have not found yet. I was hoping it would be in one of the catalogs that I had. Laura, I'll chat with you after this episode to see if you could track it down in one of yours. But I wish there was like an American Girl catalog from the 80s through the 2000s that showed everything that they've ever had available, like just an archive.
Yeah. Also, another thing we were thinking about was like the staging of the shoots for the catalog and like what was involved with that, like how they were like positioning like the furniture and the dolls within the scenes is just like so artful. They're like little dioramas.
I love that.
I'm like obsessed. I wish that I could have like been a fly on the wall for like an American Girl catalog shoot.
The dream. You mentioned that your sister had her Barbie bike. So it seems like she had some inclination for dolls. Did she ever get into American Girl?
Okay. Well, she was never really into American Girl. Like my mom describes it that she got a doll, but she didn't necessarily like want it. So my mom was able to sway her into getting a historical doll because my mom thought that was like the only real value in American Girl. It was like the historical factor. So my mom got her to get Kirsten. And my mom always talks about how Kirsten like had a cat or something. Like she like got a cat for Kirsten. And she's like, your sister only played with the cat. She never played with the doll. Oh, and, no. And that's so Iris. Like she like literally convinced her entire third grade class to be cats and dogs. Like the girls were cats and the boys were dogs. And she got like sent to the principal's office because like everyone was like only meowing.
And oh my god.
Only meow. So she like had the doll, but she never fully appreciated it. And she at one point put permanent marker on my doll's face.
And unreal.
That is something I'm still working to forgive her for.
Do you remember why she did that?
I don't remember why she did it. I feel like that's the kind of thing that she did when I was like not in the room. And then I would find it and I'd be like, why did you do this? And it would be like, she had no answer. Like I would find homework assignments that had been fully completed under the couch in her room. And I'm like, why did you do this? Like I had to redo this entire assignment. Like, why did you take my homework and why is it under your couch? Like, and she just like never gave me an answer. So it's like the permanent mark on the face, one of those things.
She would take your homework assignments, fill them out with like wrong answers.
No. I had already completed the entire assignment. It would be like, I don't know, in my backpack, ready to go to school the next day. And then I'd get to school and it'd be like, where's my homework assignment? I don't know. And then it would be like months and months later after I'd already had to like redo it in my life.
No.
And I would find it under her couch and be like, I just don't understand. Like, I just
don't. Oh my God, Iris.
That is so funny.
Yeah. I don't know about the permanent marker. All I know is the last time I was in the AG store in January, I asked them if their hospital could help me with a situation like that. And they said that I would have to get a new head entirely.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's surprising. The thing. Anything with the hair or the face, they just replace the head. It's really scary.
Yeah. So, but yeah, she had her own doll. She didn't really play with it like she played with the cat.
Wow. We have to ask this with all things Kirsten. Did she leave the hair intact in those braids?
No. I'm like, she had braids? I'm like, I don't know that the braids were ever intact. I feel like the braids were probably the first thing to come undone. She's also the one that cut the tags off of all of my grandparents' Beanie Babies because I'm pretty sure the braids are probably the first thing to go.
Wow. Oh my goodness. That's a pretty brutal. But I mean, the thing about the American Girl hair is that kids cannot be relied upon to keep the hair intact. And I feel like they know this as a company. And that's why having like the doll hospital is almost like a way for them to just make tons of money, because they know that the parents are going to get upset if the kid takes this doll and like ruins it. So they're going to want to get like replacement parts or whatever at the doll hospital. And then they just like
have a whole salon.
Yeah, exactly. Like they just like a way for them to like set you up for failure so that you have to have them fix it.
Right. Honestly, I mean, a smart move on their part. Yeah. It's kind of like you either have to have a super like patient, precious child that takes such good care of things, which I definitely was not, or do absolutely nothing and let the doll be altered with whatever life brings her way. Or you just have to expect to send it to the hospital in the worst case scenario.
Yeah, 100%.
The hospital is not an option for me, though. It's like, yes, that might have been a luxury for many, but for me, it was like, whatever happens, happens. You're going to have to live the rest of your life with what has happened to you, whether right. or not you're the one that did it.
Oh, Ruby.
A lesson in acceptance.
Yeah. Is your doll still in existence today? Do you still have her?
Honestly, that's a good question for my mother, who I recently went back to Michigan to visit and was looking all over for the doll and was like, I don't understand. Where is she? And my mom's like, I don't think I would have thrown her away. I'm like, okay, but where is she? Like,
yeah. So yeah.
I haven't found her. I still have about 17% hope that she exists in a way that I will meet her again, which isn't a lot, but I'm holding on to that.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because I had the same situation where I had a few dolls and I'm pretty sure we gave most of them away, but I'm like grilling my mom all the time. I'm like, we had to have kept one. Why wouldn't we have kept one? And yeah. She's just like, I don't know. And so every time I'm home, I'm just like rooting through the attic looking
for one. How does that happen on accident? Like, I don't understand how you could like forget if you got rid of an American Girl doll. It's like, that seems like something that you would be like, ooh, I'm going to do this. And I hope she never asks about it.
Right.
Like, it's my dirty little secret. And like, that's just not something that you get. I'm sorry. Like,
right.
My mom's actually coming tomorrow and I'm going to ask her again and be like, I need you to be honest with me. I think we're at a point now where you can tell me the truth and I won't kick you out, but I do need to know what happened.
Yeah. You deserve closure. You just need closure on the situation.
Right. So the past couple of years, my parents have been cleaning out the attic. And as I've said many times on this podcast, it's like my favorite place in the world. I feel like it's a total time capsule. I love going in there. I've saved so many notes and magazines and books, and my like whole like childhood is up there. It's so much fun to go through. And a couple of years ago, my dad, and he brings this up often, he'll want me to throw away my old stuffed animals. And like the very first time he said that, I was like, okay, like we could go to the attic and there are like a couple bags worth of them. I love stuffed animals growing up. And he was like, okay, pick the ones that you want to keep and then we'll throw the rest out. And I was looking through the bag. I'm like, I can't throw any of these out. Are you kidding? Like the emotional tie was so strong, even though I have not seen these stuffed animals in, I don't know, 20 years, 25 years, like I couldn't do it. And they're still up there. And every time I'm home, my dad will say that.
They let you keep them there.
Yeah, they're still there. Yeah. And that's how I know that my Felicity was somewhere. I finally tracked her down this spring after many visits of looking for her, couldn't find her, finally did. But I'm like, I know she's here because they're not throwing away like random stuffed animals. Like she must still right. be here somewhere. Finding her was just a relief. My search was over.
I get so irrationally frustrated when my parents are like trying to throw my old stuff away, because a lot of the time it's stuff I'm like, yeah, go ahead, I don't care about it anymore. But sometimes it's stuff I do care about and I want them to keep it. And they're like, well, where are we going to keep this? And it's like, I don't know, in your house in the suburbs, you have room. Like, I don't right. have room for this. So you have to keep it. Like,
what do they need the room for?
Right. I'm like, I think we can get rid of the old baby car seat that I used in 1993. I think that can go and we can make some room for like sentimental things that we should actually keep. Like, it's just mind blowing to me. Like why we would start getting rid of things that still have like sentimental value and not start with getting rid of like old baby stuff.
Fair.
Ruby, what about the catalog? Were you really into looking through the catalog when it would come into the mail? Is that something that you were looking forward to receiving?
I lived for the catalogs. My mom confiscated them before I had access, if she got to the mail before I did. which I did not know about till this year. So the catalogs that I did have, I held on to, and just, you know, that was everything.
Right. Were you a circler? I feel like this is like coming up in TikTok lore right now. Like, were you one of the girls that circled everything that you wanted?
I think I was a circler, but more of like a writing incoherent things and like drawing, you know, X's over I's that I didn't like. And more of like a serial killer circler. Like, you look at it and you're like, not the choices I would have made, but you do you, you know? So I think there was probably a lot of circling, but maybe some extra scribbling that wouldn't make the most sense now to look back on.
Oh my God. It's funny you say that, because I just bought a couple catalogs off of eBay from a collection they had in the late 90s called American Girl Gear, where it was only the clothing. So a catalog of like 50 pages of clothing only. And I haven't even thought about this in I don't know how many years. I forgot that this even existed, but I loved it. And I remember each page very clearly. However, whoever had this originally, like, blacked out all of the eyes, like painted like black lipstick on all of the models throughout the catalog. Like, it is just torn apart.
Like, you know, like giving piercings in random spots. And just, like, I have a vision for this catalog that I feel like they should have known, but they didn't. So I'm going to...
Right. What were some of the things that you wanted?
I probably wanted any outfits that were like what you could consider scandalous for the early thousands. Like anything that may have been like athletic and showed some stomach, anything in that world, roller skates. Like, I had a real vision for who I wanted to be. And like, my mom would say that we would go to my great grandma's nursing home, and I would, in the guest book, draw pictures of girls with belly shirts and piercings and roller skates. And she'd be like, oh my God, this isn't who we are. Like, you know, this doesn't represent the family. I'm so sorry. Like, I'm sorry she did this. So I feel like those are the kinds of things that I was into at that time in my life and currently.
Oh, wow. My gosh. Were you into any of the historical items or just the create your own girl of today vibe?
So nowadays I would be very into the historical vibes. As you know, I sew bonnets, and that's definitely like a style I'm into. But at the time I was very into fitting in, and I really just wanted to like have the things that Britney had. And that was like my style, was like, just look at Britney, okay?
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to break the mold and be historical, because that would not have been very Britney of me.
Did you name your doll Britney?
I probably did.
We talk about this a lot with like the create your own.
Ashley, like, it might have been them. Ashley too. Like, Ashley's were the, there was like three Ashleys that I was also all jealous of. So I feel like it could have been either Brittany or Ashley. It could have been
Ashley was such a name phenomenon when we were in like, I mean, I guess like all throughout school, but I remember specifically in middle school being so mad that my name wasn't Ashley.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, my parents gave me like a beautiful, timeless name that now I'm so grateful for, and not like a really like trendy name. But I was obsessed with the name Ashley, and I would write it and spell it all different ways, because you know how you could spell it like EY or like Ashley Simpson with two E's, or a little LEIGH situation as well. So I wanted that to be my name more than anything in the world for a period of time. And I'm sure that my girl of today tried on that name a few times. Yeah, right. Option.
I mean, you kind of just want them to have a name that you would find on the grain of rice. At the park, you know what I mean? That's all we're looking for. It's like, you, all you want is a name that you can find the license plate for your bike.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like, Lindsay, did you ever wish your name was something else when you were like middle school age?
Oh, absolutely. I remember I always wanted my name to be my middle name, Elizabeth. I thought it was just very distinguished and regal. And I remember I was in first or second grade, and maybe my mom or my dad said, yes, you could change your name to Elizabeth if you could spell it. And at that point I was like, no, I don't know. I can't. I don't know what this is.
Oh, wow. Oh my God. I think it's so interesting, like the identity crises we go through as kids, like wanting to fit in and wanting to stand out. So like, you know, wanting to be named Ashley was like big wanting to fit in vibes for me. Right. But then like Lindsay, you like, I feel like switching to Elizabeth is like you wanted to stand out a little bit from the other kids with like their basic name.
Right. I had another Lindsay in my class. It wasn't that common, but we didn't have any Elizabeths. Ruby, what about you? Because your name is so unique, but is becoming more popular now. Did you know other Rubies growing up?
I did not know other Rubies until I think I was in high school. And then I met another Ruby June in my town. And it was a little bit weird, I'm going to be honest, because our parents were like in the same friend group. And so I think I already existed when this Ruby June was being conceived. And so I feel that the mother may have seen me at a play date and been like, I'm going to take that for my child in my stomach.
Oh my God.
And so I did meet another Ruby June, but it just doesn't feel like a pure accident, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I didn't like the name because I couldn't find it anywhere, except I did find it on a license plate on a family trip to California. And that was the moment that I was like, I'm going to live in California. These are my people. And so yes. I had my California Ruby license plate on my bike for like all through high school.
Oh my gosh. Oh. Love that. That's so iconic.
Seriously.
You know, not to like completely go off on a name tangent, but this is kind of making me think about around the time that I was getting my Samantha doll, there was actually a lot of girls named Samantha around my age. Think about the name Samantha. That's probably contributed to that doll's popularity too. Like I feel like right. She was the one that everybody had. But the name Samantha feels so old-fashioned. And I went to school with like a million like Sams or Sammies. And like now I just think, how crazy would it be if you knew someone that named their baby Samantha today? I think I'm going to do it. I feel like
Laura.
I feel like it would just be like so out of left field. I don't know. Like it feels so, I don't know. Like we forgot about that one.
Oh my God. If you name your future baby an American Girl doll name.
Yeah.
That would be incredible.
I mean, I think that there's a large potential that I would know that I would do that.
So Ruby, you mentioned that you went to the American Girl store with your mother, which we actually have a voice recording of that you filmed while you were in the store, which we are going to add to this episode. So everyone stay tuned to hear of the moment reporting. But Ruby, what was it like going into the American Girl store? Because I believe you said that was your first time there.
Okay, so it was not my personal first time there because I had managed to swindle my way with other families into the American Girl store. However, it was my first time with my mother because she had never wanted to go with me to the American Girl store. And so it was a very much of like a full circle moment with my mom because I actually had hired her to be my assistant on a job. So I was kind of like, you know, I'm paying you, so you have to come with me to the American Girls. Like you're on my watch now, and like I'm buying you dinner, and so you're gonna come to the American Girls store with me. So we went to the American Girls store, and it was the most beautiful experience, aside from the fact that my mom is way more into baby dolls than American Girl dolls. And she kind of was like, she didn't really get super jazzed until the very end when we saw the baby dolls. Ooh. And then like, she's like, I want to go. I'm tired of being at the American Girl store. And I was like, okay, I guess we'll leave. And then we walked past the bitty babies or whatever. And she was like, oh, look at the babies. Look at their little hands. Like, she was like getting all excited about the baby. And I was like, okay, it's time to go.
The bitty babies seem to have that effect.
But there's some crazy new stuff there. Like I saw a llama corn at the store. I don't know if you guys are
aware. Llama unicorn?
Yeah, there was a carriage that was being led by a llama corn that was driving the dolls around. Like,
what?
I mean, the things that I saw at the store were mind-blowing.
My God.
That's surprising. Wow. What were some of the things that you were most drawn to when you were there?
I really loved the wheelchairs that the dolls were in. I thought that was just mechanically beautiful to see a tiny wheelchair like that. I loved the dolls that had lots going on, like the flight attendant dolls and like the setups that they had, where there was like you could see the clouds and like their suitcases, and like you could like look at the food that they chose to put on the tray. And something about that, like the choices that they make down to the tiny details, like the new 70s doll has like a pet rock, and just the tiny details are what like really kind of like drew me in. These little worlds, like the things that they thought were important.
Yeah, that was such a fun part of Lindsay and I going there too. And we were really captivated by like the miniature food items, I think. We walked by Rebecca, who is, I believe, from the 1910s, and she's Jewish, and they had a mini challah. It was just like the best thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Agreed.
Like, you buy the challah like on its own? Like, could you like, go in and just purchase the tiny challah and take it home with you and put it in your purse?
Yes. So you could purchase the like little like food like arrangement that the challah was part of. But also, I recently saw on Instagram someone that we follow got one of these little mystery packs of minis, which Lindsay also purchased when we were at the store, and the mini challah was in there.
Wow. It was in there? Oh my goodness. Was that the Hanukkah set?
Yes, but it was just part of a mystery pack that had
a mystery.
Yeah, but it had all Hanukkah items in it, I think.
Oh my God. Ruby, I did a live opening of my mystery pack on the podcast, and it was so disappointing. Like, I love a mystery item. I was so excited to see them at the store, and what I received was just such a letdown. I received like a tea kettle and like big white mugs with the American Girl like floral logo. Like, it was nothing exciting at all. I really wanted like a tiny food item, and what I got was just like, nah.
Like, just one so tiny meh. Food item would have been enough for you. Like, just
Totally. A little cookie, literally anything. And it was just like a tiny mug and tea kettle. And it wasn't cute. It wasn't like of a historic era or anything. Like, the tea kettle was just like a pink plastic.
No.
Thing. Like, it was not fun. No joy was had.
I'm so sorry.
I learned my lesson.
Big letdown. I love the idea though, that, you know, you'd get a mystery pack and like keep wanting to get good stuff, so you keep buying them. So I like the principle of it, but that one was just too much of a letdown.
I don't like the mystery concept. I don't want to be surprised. I like looking through things and I know exactly what I want, and then I think about it for like a week, and then I come back and I want that. I don't want someone to tell me what to want. I already know what I want. I want the challah. I don't want it. Surprise.
I think that challah is in my future at some point, for sure.
I wish I had that mentality, Ruby, because too often I am like suckered into a mystery pack where it's like, if I just bought the thing that I wanted originally,
yes,
I would have had a better experience. But like,
no, I know exactly what I want.
Anything a mystery.
The moment I see something, it's like, I know immediately if it's for me or not. I don't need a mystery to, I don't need to waste my time on mysteries. I know what I want.
Oh my gosh. Ruby, was there anything when you were at the American Girl store that you were like, I could almost take this home today?
There was an Indigenous doll that just like felt like she had wisdom, and like she felt like the kind of doll that I would talk to on a regular basis. Like she would have a spot. She would have a spot with her teepee and her horse in my house that was sacred. And some people like have altars with crystals and stuff, but like I would have that doll with her entire setup, and like I would come to her and ask her questions if I had her, because I just know that like she would give me the answers that I needed.
I believe you're talking about Kaya, and that was the last American Girl doll that I got.
Wow.
Yeah, it was the last one I got, and my dad had to put together her little teepee dwelling, which was traumatic for him because there was a lot of assembly involved. But yeah, I remember loving that doll. It's actually one of the ones I'm hoping maybe my family kept, because it was relatively new by the time I was
that one. Like, it's, I don't think,
yeah,
I don't emotionally, spiritually holding her, I don't know that a human could get rid of her, if you know what I mean.
She has also like just the most gorgeous apparel. Like, it's so well made. Her original outfit that I had that she came in was like real suede. It was just really well made. I'm obsessed with her gorgeous braids as well. I never took those out. Those stayed intact. So yeah, I understand the magic behind that one for sure. I love that you connected to that one. They had like a little setup for her in the New York store as well, but most of the like visuals in the New York store, I would say, were around the 70s doll, Julie, and the 80s doll, Courtney, which was like weird because I don't even consider those to be like historical time periods yet, but I suppose they are.
Right. And so much of the store was dedicated to them. Like maybe like 2/3 of the top half was dedicated to those two. It was
wow,
pretty wild. Ruby, when you were with your mother, do you learn anything new about either her experience with American Girl or yours, or like, did any memories come back for you both?
I think it really became clear to me that my mom, she wanted me to be into baby dolls or into historical smart girl things to be into. And like, I was just born knowing what I want. And like, when I was 3 years old, she says the first thing I wished upon a star for was makeup. And she was horrified because she was like this hippie woman who was like trying to like make sure I didn't know makeup existed. And I just was born knowing about it and wanting it and obsessed with Barbie and American Girl dolls. And she didn't want me to even know about Barbie. And on 100th day of school in first grade, I brought in 100 Barbies. I just like,
oh my God,
I brought in all 100, like they were like, bring in 100 items. People are like bringing in 100 marshmallows and like 100 toothpicks. And I was like, no, I am going to bring in 100 Barbie dolls. And I did. And so she, at the American Girl store, it was clear that like, she only wanted me to want it for the historical purposes. Yeah. And it was just like, that's just, I mean, that is who I am in some ways now, but it wasn't who I was. And there was like the clashing was you could feel us clashing in the store, but also like understanding each other. So it was just this like very interesting conversation of like, she's into it, I'm into it, she's not as into it, so she goes to the bathroom 3 times or whatever. And it's like, I just like, like everything that we had experienced for all those years was condensed into this like 30 minute experience at the and you can feel all of the emotions, all of the drama, all of the questions. It's all in that conversation. And so listening back to it, it validates a lot of things for me.
Wow. Mm. Well, we can't wait to hear this recording. Thank you so much for sharing this with our AGW listeners. I think that's such an interesting dynamic
yes.
to hear, and we can't wait to hear the whole conversation.
Thank you.
So excited.
But before we get into that, Ruby, We ask this of all of our guests on the podcast and would love to hear it from you. What lasting impression did American Girl leave on you?
The most impressionable thing that American Girl left me with is it has to do with the caring and keeping view. I'm not sure if you're aware of this book.
Oh, we're aware.
This book was really my only form of sex education because no one else ever said anything to me. I went to a charter school, so there was no information available. And I just remember vividly seeing a page of girls changing into bras in a changing room and all the different body types and being like, whoa, those are boobs. And then flipping the page. And I just remember, like, I can see it like burned into my brain. This might be getting into PG-13 territory, but like, it was like a girl sitting on the toilet, like putting a tampon in. To me, I was like, how is that going to fit? What's going to happen? Like, but the illustration was everything I had to base the rest of my life on. And so I like would look at that book every day and just think like, is this in my future? Like, is this what's going to happen to me? And if it is, it's going to be okay because these girls have very calm expressions. They seem very okay with what's happening. And so I feel like for me, that was the most impactful moment in my American Girl history.
Wow. I mean, we are both big fans of that book. We grew up with that book as well. And I think that you really hit the nail on the head with just exactly how every girl feels looking at that book, especially because if you have that book, there's probably a conversation that's not happening that like you are being tasked to figure out yourself. So
right.
The book is like your treasure map and your guide to life.
Right.
It's all you have. It's all you have.
Literally. So I think that we can totally relate. And yeah, so glad that that book exists. And I'm so glad that there are so many people who benefited from it because yeah, like I don't think that there was anything else out there during that time that you could compare that book to. I think it was very unique and first of its kind. So I'm happy it exists too. Do you still have your copy?
That's another question I'll ask my mom tomorrow. But honestly, I have the copy in my brain, like so like hardcover in my brain right now that I'm like flipping through the pages and like I know exactly what hair color each person has. Like I know the details very well.
Yeah. No, it's like something that you just get burned into your brain after a while. There's not a single page anybody has brought up in conversation that I can't picture, I feel like.
Right.
And I like that they made it very like positive and not fear-based. It seemed to be overall like very lighthearted. But yeah, I feel like that book must have been a number one selling item for them. I would love to know how many copies have been sold like year to date.
Right. Oh my God. Honestly. Well, Ruby, this was so much fun. Thank you so much for joining us today on AGW. You are such a delight and you really shared such a unique story or stories today on the podcast. And we can't wait to hear your journey into the AG store with your mother. But before we get into that, where can everybody find you after this?
So on Instagram, yeah, you can find me at Ruby June, my name.
Wonderful.
And in real life, if I see you, you know, give a holler.
Sounds amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Ruby.
It was so fun to chat today. Thanks for coming on. And now here is the recording of when Ruby and her mom went to the American Girl store together earlier this year. Enjoy.
Okay, we're at the American Girl store with my mom.
Yeah, man.
This is our first time here because my mom would never wanted to go with me before because it was... Why didn't you want to go?
Because I didn't want you to go crazy and want to buy everything in sight.
Well, it's happening. We see a doll in her first class airplane seat. It just looks like luxury.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and we see another one that says more on her t-shirt, which is pretty much
what I was afraid would happen to Ruby. She just want more and more.
More is more.
Many cute accessories and expensive.
Oh my God, I can't stop taking pictures.
And there's another one that makes me think of her sister, who's a little outdoorsy girl. But
where is she?
Iris never wanted her dolly. She just liked the dog that came with it.
Oh, and this one has a dog.
Yeah, so this one is kind of like her because it's a nature girl with hiking boots on.
Wow, their marshmallows look so unappetizing.
That's true. I thought those were like gauze pads or something.
I think those are gauze pads. Yeah, but I think that's probably supposed to be her marshmallows for the campfire.
Yeah, you're right.
She doesn't have a fire, though.
No, so it's a little bit odd. They're not really that outdoorsy, honestly. But, oh, look, this is kind of similar to the one about taking care of yourself. The book. The happiest you.
Oh, we had the keeping and caring of you.
Yeah, okay.
Wait, so did Iris get a dog?
They even have something for people who are ADD. Distraction in action. Where am I? Oh, right here. Yes, I did feed Ginger Snap. My big toe itches. So that's kind of funny. Training your brain. How to train your brain so you don't get distracted too much.
So Iris got a dog?
Well, actually, it might have been a cat that came with the dolly. And it was really small, not that important, but and very inexpensive compared to the doll. But she never played with the doll. She only played with a little kitty cat.
And why did she put permanent marker on my doll?
Because you liked it
too
much.
Yeah, thank you. She did it on purpose because I liked it too much?
I don't know. You never know why kids do stuff, honestly. It might have been a complete accident.
I doubt it. This is not an American Girl doll. What's a Willy Wisher?
That's like in between Barbie and American Girl.
No, those are like fairies.
Oh.
Those are wearing mythical.
I think they look kind of fun. Oh, and I like that little llama that comes with it over there.
It's a llama unicorn.
Okay.
Llama unicorn. What do they call it? They call it a magical llama corn. Okay.
And they even have little boots.
Oh, you know why? They needed it to be a unicorn, part unicorn, so that it could pull them in their carriage.
Oh.
If it was just a llama, you couldn't expect that to carry you. Oh, here's the historical section.
Yeah, this is what I really wanted Ruby to get. If she was going to get a doll, I didn't want her to get one of those contemporary dolls, which she wanted.
But why didn't you want that?
Because I wanted it to be an educational experience, not just about collecting stuff. And so I wanted you to learn and read and get the Kirsten one so you could learn about your heritage.
Did you just want me to get the Kirsten one because she looked like you?
No, she's from your past. Because I think she's Swedish, and so you have a little bit of Swedish in you.
Okay, well, we got to find Kirsten to find out. Because you were able to convince Iris to get Kirsten. You should have just let me get two dolls.
Your doll that looked like your best friend, and try to look like her. You know, the historical one is here at all.
I feel like they're phasing out the historical ones. Because we've seen, like, ice skaters, we've seen colored hair, like... There's like a tiny section for historical. I see Kit. I see Addie.
Rebecca? I don't know Rebecca.
She's probably new. She looks really fancy, Rebecca.
Oh, look, this is me. This is my time period. Julie, 1974. Oh my gosh, I feel so old.
Is that you?
That's like when I was, seven years old.
So that would have been you.
Yeah, kind of.
But you wouldn't have been playing basketball.
No, that was when I think basketball was just becoming a thing that for girls to be able to play. But I was never that coordinated. So
she's pretty cute.
She is. I like her ponytails.
I can't tell what color eyes she has. I'm looking deep into them, and they look I don't know, undecided. Okay, and then Courtney looks new. She's got a dude. Why? What is it?
I'm bright and sunny on the outside, but on the inside, I'm a real fighter.
Do you think that's you?
Look at her. She's really artsy there.
See you wearing that, maybe.
When I was a kid, I'd like had like a jean jacket that had like a peace sign on it. So that kind of makes me think of
that. You had a pet rock too, didn't you?
Yeah, I was really into pet rock.
Oh my gosh, she has a pet rock, a magic eight ball, and a lava lamp.
And I had a mood ring. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh, are you Julie?
I'm Julie. I'm totally Julie.
Did you leave cookies out for Santa too?
I didn't, sorry, Santa.
Did you have a pet rabbit with carrots?
We had guinea pigs and they ate all our vegetables.
Did you make lists about your crushes?
I always did that. I put Stars By my favorite.
She did that too.
And I was into really into horses, and she has a thing called Seasons of Ponies.
Seasons of Ponies.
Yeah, this is it.
Maybe. You were Julie.
I was.
Maybe you would have been excited about American Girl dolls if Julie had been around.
I don't know. I wasn't as into dolls like that. I was into baby dolls.
We still haven't found Kirsten.
Nope, there's Eddie, Samantha.
There's Josephina and Samantha. This one looks really cool. Who is she? Melody?
Oh my gosh, she's 1964.
She's really cute. Maybe. Look at her hair. Do you think Kirsten's over here? No, she's not. No, she's not.
We don't have her in store.
You don't have Kirsten? What happened to her?
They just discontinued, but they had did like a remake, and they had like all the, you know, kind of brought back. But then once they sold. I like the older historical ones. My
okay, so I did too, but she never wanted them when she was little.
Oh, really?
And so she's probably when this change started happening, because I'm like, come on, you got to read these books. These are so cool.
Yeah.
She wanted the contemporary doll, though.
Yeah.
So it must be that.
Are there still look like me dolls? Are those out there too?
Yeah, the Truly Me's are right in the middle, yeah.
Okay.
I noticed most of them don't have bangs. Do you have any that have bangs?
We do have a couple.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, of course, Samantha still has bangs.
Yeah, she has bangs.
Yeah. But, yeah, we have a couple with bangs.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you have the doll hospital here?
Well, we don't have it here, but you can leave your doll and we send it out
to the hospital. But there's no, like, hospital operating room here?
No.
Okay.
No. We just have the salon and the bistro here.
And what are they doing? In the salon, they're doing... Oh, they're doing the hair?
Yeah. They do hair. They can have their ears pierced. They can have a spa bath. They can get their nails.
Really? Can they take permanent marker off the faces?
I don't know if the permanent marker will come off.
Yeah, I tried for years.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get that off.
No, but they don't. But yeah, they do a lot back there.
So even a spa treatment won't remove permanent marker off the face.
Mm-mm. Might have to get a new head for that.
A new head? Oh my gosh.
A new head for that.
Can you even buy a new head, or do you need a whole doll?
They'll send it to the hospital to get a new head.
Okay.
Yeah. But the reason why some people will, like, get a new head versus, like, say if it's one that has the original, the strings. Because, you know, now they don't do them with the strings.
Oh, they don't do strings.
No, it's like a plastic thing in there now, so they don't have the string.
Oh.
So if somebody wants to keep that originality of then they would probably prefer to get, a new head that way versus, a whole new doll.
That's true, because you've experienced so much with your doll. I mean, even giving her a new head is a big deal.
Yeah. So that could be a reason why somebody would want to do that versus getting a whole new doll.
Yeah. Do you have your own dolls?
Well, they're my daughters.
Okay.
But I'm like Kaya and Josefina and Addie.
Oh, those
are
good ones.
Mine, but they're not mine. They're hers, but I always say, those are mine.
So she doesn't go crazy and like lose them or something?
Oh, no. She's 14 now.
Okay.
And we got her first doll when she was 5.
Okay.
And she has like 85 now.
84 dolls?
Mm-hmm.
84?
Mm-hmm.
Where do they live? Do they have
in
their
the
own
basement?
Room?
Our one whole half of our basement is just all American Girl.
Oh my gosh.
So now that she finally, because she just turned 14 in November, and she said, I think I'm done playing with them. So we're going to start like, boxing them and what she wants to keep and put them in the attic.
84 dolls? You could start a museum.
Yeah, a lot. And she has so many accessories and, things to...
Wow, matching
beds
outfits.
And everything. It's like, but...
Yeah, I love it. I'm just imagining your 84 dolls.
Here's Kaya, and we have the tent.
Wow.
We have everything to go with her. The hearts, we have everything.
I just got chills.
I have it like in this corner, and
You have the horse?
Yes, I have everything. All the
animals, my gosh.
All the food, we have everything to Kaya. And it's just all in her little section in the corner. And it's just so...
Does she have any matching outfits to Kaya? That would be so cute.
No, she doesn't. But we have all the outfits and everything. And she's just like in pristine. Just like that in condition.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. She's one of my favorites.
She's
her
so
and
cool.
Addie, I just like love. Yeah.
Even her expression looks different. Something about her
no
expression.
Teeth. No teeth.
You're right. She doesn't have teeth. Maybe that's it.
No, she does, doesn't she? I mean, just her skin is just like, it's just so
soft.
Real. So, so soft and real.
Yeah.
She's just like,
this is plasticky.
Right, exactly.
She's got personality and, like, wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Like, you can see it in the doll.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's like one of my favorites.
Thank you for showing us. Yeah. I think she might be my favorite too. I don't think we would have even seen her if you hadn't pointed her out.
Yeah.
Let's go look at the diner and then we can call it.
Okay, good.
You're getting a little American grilled out. You've reached your capacity. Oh, well, that one's really cute too with the red hair. I mean, I could stay probably for like hours, but I don't want you to be like to overdo it and then have you never want to come again. Do you mind if I take a picture?
Oh, you're fine.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Beautiful work. Such silky hair.
Mm-hmm.
Did you style it?
I didn't style this one. Someone here probably did though.
I love it.
This is Camille's fancy style.
Wow.
She's super cute.
So beautiful. Thank you.
Of course.
All right. Oh, there's your baby dolls. They do have babies.
I do. I love these babies over here.
Are you more drawn to the bitty babies?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you need more time here?
No.
Okay,
but
let's
this
go.
This is what I love.
You love the bitty baby.
Squishy. Yeah. Oh, its little eyes. Oh.
It's sleeping. You just woke it.
Yeah. And then they have a little car seat. I just love all that.
Yeah, it doesn't really speak to me.
Things and
looking at all this baby stuff, I'm kind of ready to go. Yeah, good place to end. All right, bye.
Thank you for listening to American Girl Women. For more AG Women content, follow us on IG at American Girl Women or send us your American Girl stories via AmericanGirlWomen@gmail.com. We might just read them on the pod. If you like this podcast, tell your friends and rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.